We are in the presence of Almighty God. This is not a show. You might have walked in and thought you got a freebie tonight, that security didn't spot you, the ushers missed you, but you were set up by God Almighty tonight because He wanted to encourage your heart. He wanted to speak new life into you. He wanted to just give you a message, and it's simply this, that He loves you, that He has a plan for your life. I just want to share a simple thought with you. I was preparing, as I was praying about tonight and what to share, I had something all laid out and worked out all I had been working on for a couple of weeks, and last night the Lord changed it all and said I wanted to speak to somebody in this place. And so tonight I just want to speak to you on a simple thought of breaking out of your prison, breaking out of your prison, breaking out of captivity, a place of captivity. You know, everyone has a prison of some sort. I'm talking about a place that captivates your attention. It could be maybe your emotions. For example, anger. Anger can captivate lives, like we heard tonight. It can be guilt, maybe from an experience of some sorts in your past, or something that you're currently involved in. It can be depression that afflicts so many in this generation. And you know, there are times when you can face depression maybe because of a chemical imbalance, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about depression that comes as a result of sin, the lifestyle that we've chosen to live apart from God. No therapist can cure that. No medication can heal that. Only God can touch that area. Tonight we're talking about pride. Which so many can walk in and think that they're better than others, and even seemingly have to put people down to elevate yourself. And that at times can be a place of captivity. We're talking about jealousy tonight. We're talking about self-pity. Self-pity can be a place of captivity. We're talking about anxiety. Anxiety, especially in the age that you and I, this age that you and I live in, where there's so much uncertainty. A place of resentment can be a place of captivity. A place of shame, frustration can be a place of captivity. It could also be the way you look. The way you look when you look in the mirror and what you see. It could be your desires. For example, some lust. It could be cigarettes tonight, or alcohol, or drugs, or pornography. It could be fear of man, fear of harm, fear of failure, fear of the future, or some sinful habit, sinful meaning some sort of thought or action that is contrary or in direct violation to God's law and plan for your life. It's a prison. It's a place of captivity. How do you get out of this place? How do you break out of that cell, that prison? Tonight I'm reminded of a young lady whose story I read. She said, though my parents were Catholic, they themselves did not attend church except for religious holidays. She said, they encouraged us kids to do our sacraments, and so we did. I remember coming out of Mass with my sister when I was about 15, 16 years old. Something had upset me and I was cursing. In my heart, I knew religion was supposed to change you. And so that day I made a decision that I would never go back to church. I became a metalhead, full of anger and living apart from God. By the time I got to college, I was wearing black every day and only listening to heavy metal, but also punk rock, and I felt my heart begin to get harder, darker and darker. In my sophomore year, I worked with a young man who was a Christian. Every time he saw me, he would talk to me about God. His best friend was also a Christian, and he would also talk to me about God. The man who ran the elevator was a Christian, and he would talk to me about God. The custodian who cleaned the lab where I worked was a Christian, and he would talk to me about God. One day the custodian was sharing with me and asked me if I wanted to pray, if I wanted him to pray for me. And I said, sure. And he asked me to repeat what he was praying, and I did. And he invited me to his church the next day. And when I went to church, the pastor began to share about Jesus dying for our sins on the cross. And something broke in me that night. I cried like I had never cried in my life. By the time I got home that night, though, I started getting thoughts that I was going to hell anyway. And I might as well do all the bad stuff I had held back from so far. I later found out that those thoughts were from the devil. When the young man and his best friend found out I accepted Jesus into my heart, they took me under their wings and started to instruct me on the ways of God. It has been years since that day in that church, and I can honestly tell you that God is a deliverer. He has set me free from all the anger in my heart. I work in full-time ministry now, and God blessed me also with a wonderful man. Hallelujah, the most wonderful man in the world in marriage. God is awesome. I said, God is awesome. She gets gloriously saved and delivered from a prison of sin and anger when she is simply prayed for. The Bible tells us an incredible story that I want to share with you tonight. Simple story, short story, but an incredible story that I love. And I was reading it in my devotions this past week. It's a story about the Apostle Peter, who is imprisoned. Persecution begins to break out. King Herod Agrippa at the time began to persecute the believers of that day. And the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 12 that he had James, the brother of John, put to death by the sword. And he also had Peter imprisoned. And he had planned to perform a public trial after the Passover. But he set about four squads of four guards each around Peter. So you got to picture this. Peter is in prison. He's got 16 soldiers assigned to him. 16 soldiers assigned to him, and he's put in prison. And the Bible says during this time, well, while this was taking place, while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. And that night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened by two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate, and suddenly there was a bright light in that cell. And an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. And this angel strikes Peter on the side and says, "Get up, put on your clothes, we're out of here." So he tells Peter, "Get up." And so the Bible says the chains fell off his wrist. What a miracle. And the angel said, "Let's go." And so Peter followed him, just like the angel had ordered. And Peter left the cell following the angel. But all the time, it was a vision. He thought it was a vision. He thought he was dreaming. And I thought of the testimonies tonight of these folks that said they had a dream. Twice we heard it tonight, they had a dream. And I was just thinking about that as I was preparing to come and share with you tonight. He thought it was a dream, the Bible says, and he didn't realize that it was actually happening. And they passed the first and the second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. I mean, you imagine this. What happened to those guards? You know, I was thinking about, I mean, what did this angel do to those guards? I mean, did he just walk up to them and give them some type of sleep hold or pinch on their shoulder like in Star Trek or something? Or did he, I mean, I was just trying to imagine what took place at that. Did he grab them? And, you know, I was just trying to imagine what took place. But for whatever reason, they could do nothing to stop Peter from walking out of this cell. And so he walks right by them, and the Bible says he passed through, and he goes through this gate that just opens and started walking down the street. Then the angel suddenly left him, and Peter finally came to his senses, and he says, "It's really true. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me." Amazing. Peter simply followed out this. He just simply followed this angel out of this prison cell. He didn't linger. He didn't play. He didn't dabble with anything there. He just simply walked out. I'm going to show you how you can walk out of your prison tonight. Whatever that prison might be, you know, God knows, and the devil knows what that prison is tonight. There may be some in your family that know as well. Some that might have given up on you. Some that might have even written you off because of some type of life-controlling habit or tendency that you have or some bent in your character. The Bible tells us in verse 5, chapter 12, that while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. First of all, you must pray. It's that simple. Intercession was made. Someone cried out to God. You've got to tell God what you need. Ask him for help. Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive." James said, "You have not because you ask not." James went on to say, "Is any among you afflicted?" In other words, ill-treated, suffering evil. Are you being persecuted? Are you going through it? He said he should pray. Is any among you sick? And that word sick means to be feeble in any type of sense, to be diseased, impotent, weak against some habit. He says he should call on the elders of the church, spiritual guides, and they should pray. And the prayer that is of faith will save him who is sick, and the Lord will restore him. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults. And the word faults means your slip-ups. Wherever you seem to slip time and time again. You know that sin that so easily besets you? Your false steps, your offenses, your sins. And pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored. I like this. This is the Amplified Version. It says the word restored means to be restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. It says the earnest, in other words, the heartfelt continued prayer of a righteous man or woman makes tremendous power available, which is dynamic in its working. Hallelujah. 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 You simply have to pray. You simply have to call on God. The Bible says those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Folks, it's that simple. One day I called on the name of Jesus. I used to have a life-controlling habit. It was fear. Fear of the future that bound me. Even before I was a Christian. And when I became a Christian, I still had that fear in my life. And God began to deal with that fear. He began to confront that fear in my heart. He began to send his word and simply asked me to call on him, just to come to him in prayer, just to yield it to him. I used to be so afraid. I remember fearing. I used to have this fear so bad. I remember feeling like I would never reach my 17th birthday. And then when my 17th birthday came, I felt like I would never reach my 21st birthday. And when my 21st birthday came, I felt like I was never going to reach, you know, the next birthday. And folks, it was just a fear that was there that gripped me. But God began to come and lay the axe to the root of that thing in my life and nip away at that thing. He began to show me that if I had given my life to him, I had nothing to fear, that he was going to take care of me, that he was going to provide for me, that he was going to meet every need, that he was going to cause me to succeed and to overcome whatever I would face in this life. I remember times when God would just protect me. I remember one time I was just about to be married, and it was the day before my wedding, and I was driving. And I remember, I might have shared this story here before with the young people, but I was on my way to a particular destination. I had my aunt in the car. I had another friend, the maid of honor, in the car. And we were driving. And I remember that day so clearly. We were on the highway in Queens, on the Cross, I think it was the Cross Island Parkway. And some of you from Queens will know where that is. And I was in the left lane. And all of a sudden, a car in the right lane, there's a concrete divider, a car in the, on the right hand, on all the way in the left lane on the other side of oncoming traffic was speeding, and another car came and cut that car off and sent that car right over the concrete divider, and it was coming right into our windshield. And folks, I kid you not, that car stopped right in midair. It just froze right over the divider. All I could say was, Jesus. And that thing stopped right over the divider. And we drove right past safely. And I got married. I can tell you story after story of God's protection, of God's provision. I remember one time I had a tax bill that came up. The company I was working for was supposed to take taxes out of my check, and they weren't taking enough taxes. And I remember I got a notice that I owed $6,800, and it was April. And I remember saying, God, I'll get another job. I'll do whatever I have to do. And the Lord just told me, just wait, just trust me, just wait, just trust me, just wait, just trust me. And I kept saying, God, I'll do anything. I'll do whatever you want, you know. And he just kept saying, just wait, just trust me, just wait, just trust me. And then one day, I remember I was at church. I was here in the house, and I was leaving church. And I was a young man at the time in college, and somebody walked up to me and said, asked me, do you have a need? And I looked at them like, you know, I'm a New Yorker, so I'm thinking, what do you want? I don't have any money. And he said, do you have a need? And I'm looking at him strange. He said, the Lord put you on my heart. Do you have a need? And all I tell you, I froze. I couldn't even say anything. All I could do was just shake my head. And he said, is it financial? And I said, he said, how much is it? And I told him, and he said, you'll have a check tomorrow morning for the whole amount. Folks, I could tell you story after story of God's provision, God taking care of me. He has never failed me. Never failed me, folks. Hallelujah. All you have to do is pray. Secondly, we see from the story, verse 7, that an angel was sent. The deliverer came. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter and said, get up, and his chains fell off his wrist. Do you know our deliverer has come? His name is Jesus. He's our angel of the Lord, if you will. He is the Son of God. He is everything you and I will ever need in this life. Hallelujah. What's amazing to me is just how dumb the devil is. You know, when he attempts this during the Passover celebration. Now, what did the Passover represent? It was when the death angel passed over the Israelites who had put blood on their door frames, and he had come, this angel of death had come and killed all the firstborn of Egypt. Passover was an Old Testament type of Calvary. My Bible tells me in the Gospel of, Acts chapter 10, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. They put him to death by crucifying him, but God raised him to life 3 days later. This same Jesus is ordained of God to be the judge of all the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. Hallelujah. Jesus has given us all that pertains to life and godliness. It's like the husband who provides for his wife and children. They don't earn what he has given them. They just simply trust him and receive it. Christ has provided for his bride, all those who place their faith in him and trust him for their salvation, all those that are part of his family, the church, like you and I today. Hallelujah. He has provided for us and he continues to provide for us. When we trust God, there is righteousness. What does that mean? That means there is right standing with God. All your sins are forgiven. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him and trusts in him and relies on him and clings to him will not perish but receive eternal life. Their sins will be forgiven. They will become citizens of another country, citizens of heaven, part of the family of God, right standing with God. They will receive righteousness. Hallelujah. But it doesn't end there. They receive holiness. In other words, they are set apart from God. He sends his word and he begins to do a sanctifying work. He begins to cleanse them and they become holy. They become more like the Savior. They also are accepted in his family. They become part of the family of God. All the saints that have gone before us, all the saints that are around the world that attend church even today, all the saints that are here in this family, in this body, become part of your family. They become your brothers and sisters, and you become accepted among the beloved. You receive protection. You receive gladness of heart. You receive a peace that passes all understanding. You get blessings. Hallelujah. You receive a confidence to face the days ahead. Folks, what an incredible inheritance we have in Jesus. He becomes our deliverer. He becomes our savior. He becomes our friend. He becomes the lover of our soul. Hallelujah. He becomes your all in all. He becomes everything. Hallelujah. Our deliverer has come. But not only that, folks, you and I have to make the choice to follow him. The Bible says in verse 9, so Peter left the cell and followed the angel. Do you know you and I today have a choice? It boils down to simply this, faith versus unbelief. I began to think about that, faith versus unbelief. Do you know faith takes us in to the fullness of everything that God has promised us? Faith takes us in to the promised land. Everything in this book, faith takes us in. Unbelief keeps us out. It's that simple. Faith takes us in, unbelief keeps us out. Faith takes us in, unbelief keeps us out. We must be willing to follow Christ by faith. This means leaving what we have and know by faith and embracing what God has for us. There is an example in the scriptures of Abraham who left not knowing where he was going or how things would work out. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, one of the books in the Bible, verse 8, it says this. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when he had called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Do you want to see your iron gates open? You simply have to trust Jesus tonight. You simply have to come to Jesus. You've got to give him everything. Do you know when you give him everything, when you come to him, the devil can't stop you? It's just like those guards of the prison. The same way they couldn't keep Peter captive. When Jesus sets you free, you are really free. Hallelujah. Jesus said, follow me. He just said, follow me. Come to me. Do you know what he's done with your life? Those around you will be amazed. They will be amazed. The scripture says when Peter had come to his senses and he realized what had taken place. He went to the house of a woman, a sister named Mary, who was the mother of John Mark, who would later write the Gospel of Mark. And when he got to the house, the Bible says that he knocked on the door and there were folks in the house praying. They were having a prayer meeting and they were actually praying for Peter. And Peter comes to the house and he knocks on the door. And this dear girl, Rhoda, she comes to the door. She hears Peter's voice and she's amazed. And she's so thrilled to death that instead of opening the door, she runs back inside to tell the folks that Peter is at the door. And they can't even believe it, you know, which is amazing to me. They're praying for Peter and here he is at the door. Here God is answering their prayers and they can't even believe it. They think she's out of her mind. They say, "You're out of your mind. Maybe it's his angel." And so finally, Peter's still out there knocking and they open the door and here is Peter. And they are completely amazed. Do you know when God is done with you, folks will be amazed. They will be amazed. Hallelujah. I want to share just a quick picture with you as we close tonight. This past week, it was the week before last, I went out to our deck. On our deck, we have these big flower pots, and every year we plant stuff in the flower pots, and my wife loves to plant vegetables, and so she had planted these tomatoes. Small ones, these little tiny tomatoes, and like I guess they're called cherry tomatoes or something like that. And some of you are going, yeah. You're helping a brother out. And then they have these other tomatoes, and so there were two different types of tomatoes planted. And I was just looking out our kitchen window, and as I was looking at this plant, I could see. I could see that it had some tomatoes on it. But I could see it was wilting. It was just wilting. It wasn't doing well at all. And so I got the thought, okay, let me go get my clippers. And so I went out and I started clipping just all the dead branches off, dead leaves, pulling all the dead leaves off. And then I went and I got some water, the hose, and I watered it. Well, do you know the next day, I mean, it was like overnight. The next 2 days, it was amazing to see how transformed this plant looked. And the tomatoes on it were red. It had produced all these tomatoes and they were just red. It was amazing to me as I sat there. And you would have thought it was a totally different plant, than the one that was there before. But you know, that's what God will do in our lives. He will come, he will send his word. And the scripture says he sanctifies us by his word. He sends his word and he begins to clip those dead areas in our life. Those dead leaves, those dead branches were sucking the life out of this plant. But the moment those leaves were cut off, all of a sudden that thing was turned around and all of a sudden it was just standing up and bursting with fruit. God comes and he does that and then he sends his spirit. You know, it's the spirit that gives life. The word letter kills, but the spirit gives life. God sends his spirit and he brings life. And I tell you, it was just like that water. God, by his spirit, is going to do a work in you tonight. And you will never be the same. You will never be the same here tonight. Hallelujah. Do you know that young lady that I was telling you about earlier, testimony I was sharing with you about earlier, who God had delivered from anger, that's my wife. And today is our 18th anniversary, wedding anniversary. And I have to tell you, God has been good to us. He has never failed us. He won't fail you. He will never forsake you. As the musicians come, I just want to read what the psalmist said in closing tonight. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. What type of mud and mire do you find yourself in tonight? The psalmist said, he lifted me out. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He brought stability into my life. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to your holy name. Would you bow your head with me tonight? I want to give an invitation simply for those who would like to pray with us tonight. Those who would say, Pastor, maybe you're here for the very first time and you've never been in a church like this, or maybe you've come before, but you say, Pastor, I need to get right with God. I'm not living for God. I'm living for myself. I've been doing my own thing and I'm tired. I'm tired of living in sin. I'm tired of living apart from God. I want to make things right with God tonight. I want to surrender everything to him. I want to know that I'm forgiven and that I'm going to heaven. I want to ask Jesus Christ to come into my life. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand unashamedly all over this house, here on the main floor. Join those who've raised their hand. Up in the balcony as well, also in the annex, you raise your hand all over this place unashamedly. God's going to change you. He's going to transform you tonight. You can put your hand down. You can put your hand down tonight. There are others here. Maybe you've backslidden and you've drifted away from the Lord. And tonight you're here and it's time for you to come back to him. The scripture says he's married to the backslider. If that's you tonight, when I invite everyone to stand, I want you also to come to the front of this church and we're going to pray. We're going to do exactly what the Bible says. We're going to call on the name of the Lord. This church is going to pray for you tonight. We're going to stand with you. We're going to offer up earnest prayer, the choir, the band, the whole house, and God is going to do a miracle in your life tonight. If you need to leave some things behind, a prison cell tonight, this is your night for a miracle. You will never be the same. Let's stand quietly and reverently all over this place. Quietly and reverently all over this place. Let's stand together. Those of you who raised your hand and those who didn't, step out of your seat. Those next to you will make room for you. Come to the front of this church tonight. Hallelujah. Be reconciled to God tonight. Be reconciled to God tonight. Let him have your broken life. He'll take it and he'll give you a new one. You'll never be the same, my friend. He will cleanse you. Those of you who responded, if you just look up here for a minute, you need to know that God loves you so much. And he proved it when he went to the cross. He proved it when he went to the cross. And he broke the power of every sin, life-controlling habit, every demon, every devil. He broke their power. And tonight you need to know that when you give your life to him, freedom, freedom will be yours in his name. You will never be the same tonight. Would you lift your hands with me as a sign of surrender to God? And I just want to lead you in a simple prayer, acknowledging your need of God. And tonight, if you will pray, inviting Jesus to come into your heart, if you believe and pray from your heart, God will hear you tonight. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. In Jesus' name, would you pray with me? Jesus Christ, Son of God, I acknowledge you tonight. I acknowledge the truth that I've heard, and I receive it. I ask that you would come into my heart and forgive me, cleanse me, wash me from all my sins. I don't want to live in sin anymore. I want to live for you from this moment on. Be Lord over my life. I give you complete control. Be glorified in me From this day forward, have your way in me. I believe that you died and rose again so that I might have a new life and receive forgiveness of sin and become your child forever. Tonight, I receive forgiveness and I believe that I now belong to you and that the devil has no claim on me. Father, I give you praise. I love you and I thank you with all my heart in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Now, folks, I want you to just stretch forth your hands, choir member, band members, elders, pastors, stretch forth your hands towards these. We're going to pray for them tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for every single person that has responded tonight. We pray, God, that every stronghold, every chain, God, every captivity will be loosed tonight in the name of Jesus. Captivity over the mind, captivity over emotions, God, captivities from their past. God, in Jesus' name tonight, we break the strongholds of the enemy over their lives. Lord, we thank you for the authority you've given us as believers to pray over those that respond to you simply by faith. Father, in Jesus' name, we proclaim freedom. Freedom, Lord, to those that have responded to you. Freedom, Lord, from every work of darkness. Freedom, Lord, from every lie of the enemy. Freedom from suicidal thoughts. Freedom from ungodly relationships. Freedom from drugs. Freedom from alcohol. Freedom from cigarettes tonight. Freedom to glorify you in this, our generation. Father, we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are free tonight. You are free in Jesus' name. You don't have to listen to the lies of the devil anymore. When Christ sets you free, you're free indeed.